We live in a fast-paced and hectic world where it's easy to feel overwhelmed, stressed, and out of control. How do you manage all the competing pressures without losing sense of yourself? How do you stay focused enough to not only plot a path, but follow it? Welcome to Recovery Road, a show that offers inspiration, insight, and intelligence, as well as success stories from many walks of life that can show you how you can control your own destiny. Our knowledgeable and entertaining host and her guests give practical advice that you can use every day in the quest to master your life. Now, here's your host, Leah Mattinson.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to today's show. I'm so excited to have each and every one of you joining us from wherever it is that you are on this glorious earth. And I'm excited for each and every one of you to not only tune in yourselves, but invite your friends and family who could use a little boost of health and healing to join us by coming either to the podcast right now or to the masteryourlife.ca website so you can hear it and you can listen to it, both in the same space. So awesome. I'm really excited to once again have on Erica Romelli. Erica, welcome to the show.
Hi, sweet friend. I am so excited to be here with you. It is always a pleasure to come play in the world and share wisdom, share tips to improve people's lives. I love it. Thank you.
Awesome. So Erica, for those of you who may have missed our first episode together, Erica specializes in rebalancing energy using bioresonance and plants. And for you want the whole shebang of everything that Erica is, be sure to go back and listen to the first episode where we went into depth on her personal story and her journey, her expertise, her breadth and depth of knowledge and experience and wisdom, and just how special it is to have her here on this stage sharing what she knows because she loves human beings.
I love them. Yes, my company is called Better Humans. I do believe that we all have this innate possibility to be better, to thrive, and to really access these incredible innate gifts we have within ourselves.
Yes. And so Erica and I have been working for several months behind the scenes to bring this series forward. And we can talk about
so much fun.
Yes, so much fun. And there's so many subjects that we can talk about that are important in this time and space. But what we decided on talking about in this kind of first post-inaugural interview was compassion fatigue. Because there's so many people suffering with very serious side effects of taking care of other people, and they're absolutely exhausted. So Erica, from your position or perspective, what do you think compassion fatigue actually means? And what does it show up and look like in people's lives?
In a very simple sentence, is giving care to a point of exhaustion. Mm-hmm. So you are taking care of someone else by disregarding your own clues for balance to a point where you end up putting your body, your emotions, your finances so out of balance that you end up in a space of disease.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well put. So body, emotions, and finances, all three areas are affected by this whole idea and practice of compassion fatigue. So let's just dial into the word compassion a little bit. What does the word compassion mean? Because I think people go, well, do I suffer from this? Am I compassionate? Or am I just tired?
You know, there's something very beautiful about that. I do believe that as human beings, we have this innate basic goodness. And I'm going to talk about that a lot because it's really the foundation of what I believe happens. So we have this basic goodness and we do want to help other individuals, especially when we hear a story and we relate to it. And we do want to extend ourselves in whatever capacity we're able to give at that point to help another human being. So it could be by donating money, it could be by being present, it could be by cooking a meal, it could be by driving the person to the medical appointment, whatever it is, right? But there's an aspect of that, that when you ask compassion, I'm going to ask another following question, and this is for the audience right now. Is there a difference between being compassionate as a general sense of wanting to relate, being empathic, right? You're caring for someone, or is there a sense of guilt that you do need to do this thing as a form of payback, as a form of exchange, as a form of something else for this individual, even though you might not really be into it or feel like you should. So I think, and this is for everyone to quietly kind of pause and ask themselves, am I being genuinely compassionate, just relating to an individual and wanting in a very unconditional way to provide some form of support? Or is it coming from a place where, ooh, actually, it's a little guilt there. And it's a caregiving archetype of psyche that is rooted in conditional love. Mm-hmm. So for a lot of individuals, their upbringing was conditioned. If you do this, you get rewarded. If you have good grades, you get a hug, you get a high five. Dad is proud. So there's an exchange that has to happen. And that's what we consider conditional versus unconditional love. For those individuals that are listening and maybe go back and go, oh, shoot, actually, you know what? Yep. I was definitely part of that upbringing where I had to perform in order to get love, recognition, acceptance, whatever it was, I want you today to be careful. When you help someone, is it because you really want to help? Or is it because that's how you were raised, that you do need to perform in order to validate a sense of right of being loved? And I know that this is a long answer to what you just asked, but it's important to kind of set the stage for, does it come from a place of unconditional love and genuinely wanting to help another being? Or does it come from a place where it's a conditioned love with the archetype of a caregiver in order to receive acceptance, love, and validation?
Yeah, very well put. It's like horse trading. Are you horse trading, getting that give? Or is it, and I think it's like this conscience, like is your conscience or what you're doing an internal response from your internal conscience and guidance system, or is it from social pressure? Like are you doing anything because of social pressure? And I think the other thing is the risk of being eliminated from the flock or pushed away from the flock if you don't do what is required by the flock, whoever they are, to take care
your
of
your flock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whatever flock you're part of. That's right. To take care of things. So, and this is really important to understand because so many people just do things based on a knee-jerk reaction to whatever is happening because that's how they've been indoctrinated or taught or, you know, pushed into whatever survival mechanism that they don't even give a second thought to. What's the consequence of me doing this activity on my physical body, on my spiritual body, on my financial situation, you know? So it is good coaching to say, give pause for a minute and just really think about what is your motivation in this thing. And again, the archetype too of compassion around the compassion of Christ, which I think is indoctrinated very heavily and turn the other cheek and just, you know, the sacrificial lamb, that sort of, if you don't do what is a sacrifice, then you won't get the rewards, which is getting to heaven. So just some of those basic, you know, it's very, very indoctrinated without people really thinking about where did this come from? I got this idea that I have to kind of give up every single thing that I have and, you know, and in order to help somebody else before I help myself.
I think what we're talking about today is so important because I've had the pleasure of working with so many thousands of individuals throughout the world. And one of the common threats that I keep on seeing with my clients is they're tired. They are exhausted. They have given everything they had to the system, the job, or their kids, or their partners, or and it's an ideal that is only set up personally, right? Everyone has their own priorities, and we all decide what has more value or less based on how we were raised and what we believe in spiritual or practical or financial states, right? But we give based on what we believe. Mm-hmm. And therefore, it's important to also set your priorities for what makes you whole. What prevents you from being so exhausted that you don't pay attention to what you're eating anymore? Your sleep patterns are a mess. You begin to have a lot of inflammation or pains, some randomly pain, just randomly appearing, right? Your hair falls off, your skin is dry, your lips are chapped, your nails are brittle, blah, blah, blah. Like the whole list of symptoms that really come from somewhere. I want you guys, if you're listening right now, I really want you to take a breath, put your feet on the floor, and just inhale, exhale, scan your body. What is your body feeling? What is your body like right now? And was that pain, was that discomfort, was that tightness there a month ago, a year ago? When did those things bubble up? And is there a relationship with you giving care for someone or you having to extend yourself so thin that your internal energetic balance is compromised? And so what we're going to talk about today, and I promise I'm going to give you some very juicy tips on how to rebalance, how to regain a good night's sleep, a happy plump skin, juicy lips, just being able to care for your body and your mind so that you're always full of vitality and you're actually of service to your family, your community, or the person you're caring for.
Right. Wonderful. Can't wait to get to the tip section of the program. Everybody's like, okay, skip the rest of this. Let's just get to the tips, Erica.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
And if we're going to talk about some issues and things that people are experiencing, yes, I want them to walk away in the time we're going to spend together feeling like we literally all helped each other become better humans. That this is literally about mastering your life and how are you going to do that? Know that we are here to help you do that in a super easy, simple, practical way.
Yes. And maybe multiple practical, simple, easy ways, because yes, some things will resonate for and some things won't. Let's talk a little bit even about ages and things that are different. The beginning of the show, maybe we're thinking about that we're taking care of somebody that's an adult, you know, that's exhausting if you're caregiving for another adult, whether that's in your own home or it's your job, like your professional work is that you're a caregiver. Mm-hmm. You might fall within a certain age group of people, and you might have things that are symptoms that are, or behaviors that you're doing that will be slightly different from somebody who's taking care of children. So for this show or for a lover, you know, so for a partner in life. Mm-hmm. So let's just talk about the beginning of the show, what some of those differentiations might be between taking care of somebody who's an adult, as an adult taking care of an adult. And then we'll go into the second part of the show, really talking about what's it like when there's a switch and it's your significant other.
Mm-hmm. Does that throws things off quite a bit? I know I've been there.
Like, woo, exactly. So let's talk about what maybe it's easier. Do you think, Erica, it's easier to take care of somebody that is not your lover? That is not
yes. Oh, yes, yes, yes. 100% yes. I think the hardest people to care for are if you are a female to care for your mother, if you are a female to care for your husband, if you're a male to care for your father, and if you're a male to care for your partner, for your wife, right? I think those are the harder relationships because there's a sense of expectation and impatience that comes to play. So for a man, let's talk about that for a second. So if you're a man listening and you're caring for your father, there's a sense of this was the man maybe you looked up to. And there's a sense of reverence. And so you want to possibly care for this individual out of, wow, this incredible being did all these things for me and now I get to be here. But men tend to be a little more impatient anyways. So that could be a little difficult. Or the other thing can happen, and you might fall in the spectrum, right? Anywhere in the spectrum. So you might be in the middle. The other side of that is now you're a man caring for a father who was really harsh and abusive and difficult in your childhood. And now you're caring for him also out of love or compassion or guilt. But there's a sense now of resentment that also tints that caregiving. Okay. If you're a man caring for your wife, that's also difficult. Because again, men tend to be just a little more practical of what you need, and they're going to problem solve. It might not be as nurturing as what the female might need in a time of care. Now, if you're a female caring for your mother, same thing. There's a little bit of difficulty. Moms could be a little more stubborn. There's going to be like maybe bumping heads, and you each have a different way of doing things because now you're the adult and she was the matriarch, and now there's these funny dynamics that come to play. If you're the female caring for the man, you might be, and I can speak to that, you might be overly sweet and overly caring, which now annoys them because they're already going through a difficult time. So their ego is already a little more sensitive. And now you're treating them like a child. So the whole thing goes into chaos quite quickly because now you've turned a partner relationship into a mother-child relationship. And that it's a fine line, and every couple needs to know where that line is. So, and I know you can speak to that as well. You're caring in this case for a parent. Now it's easier as a female caring for a father, and it's easier for a son caring for a mother.
Well, yes. And, yeah, so, I can definitely speak to the, it's a fine, delicate balance. And again, why a person has to really have that internal conscience of what it is that you're doing and what it is you're trying to create, because you can get pulled off into the chaos really quickly. And depending on what the moods and sort of intent is of the people who are being cared for, or even ability of the people who are being cared for, if you have a parent that is has dementia, their capability, like full on dementia, where they're not remembering things, they can't have an intellectual conversation with you. You can't problem solve and decision make and all that stuff with, because they just are not coherent in that manner. If you've got parents who don't have their hearing aids in, right, they're just, you go, listen to me. It's like, you can't, I can't hear you. Well, no, you haven't heard each other for the last 5 years, for God's sake. Go, oh, no wonder nobody knows what the heck they want.
But doorbells and phone calls and no one hears it.
No one hears it. But those are real things, right? So when people go, you're not hearing me, you're not listening to me, you're not responding to me in the way that I need to be cared for, it's oftentimes because they haven't heard what it is that you need, or, and because either they really can't auditorily hear, or they can't understand because they've got some sort of thing going on in their brain where it's not actually connecting. Mm-hmm. Oh, I need to walk over here to do this thing. And then they're vacant for a while until their brain catches up and they go, oh. And while you're a caregiver, you might be all impatient going, I can't believe that they're just not doing this thing. What's wrong with them that they're not doing this thing? Do they hate me? Like, are they trying to make my life a living hell? Like, so mm-hmm. those are, and why are they being so difficult? Why are they doing this? So there's a lot of the why are they doing this? Why are they doing this to me? Is, you know, so this underlying belief thing, why are they doing this to me?
Yes.
And I had this hot tip was so funny from one of my teenagers when they were a teenager. And I was like, why are you doing this to me? And they said, Mom, I don't think about you at all. What?
Yeah,
you don't think I'm about like, me at all? It's like, no, I don't think about you at all. All of my decisions are absolutely nothing to do with you at all. And this was a huge thing because, and then it was a big learning for me of going, oh, maybe if it's them, it's probably also other people aren't thinking about me at all either. Mm-hmm. So they're not considering the impact on you. So as a compassionate caregiver or as an empathetic person, it's like you have to decide, I think, whether you're sympathetic or empathetic and go, those are different things. And understanding the difference between then will help you to decide how much help do I actually need to give in this circumstance? And am I giving too much help? Because there's this balance of giving and receiving that's important too, because if you're not in balance with that, it's out of balance. So if you're giving too much and not receiving back, whether that is genuine care and concern or financial compensation, I think that's the other thing too, that people go, oh, you should just do everything for free if you're a compassionate caregiver, shouldn't you? It's like, no. And so there's all of these very, very interesting conversations to have. And if you're not solid within yourself about what it is that you're trying to achieve out of every conversation with everybody, then you can get off in the weeds with them very, very quickly and away from your own personal intent. Like, why did I come here in the first place to help out with this circumstance? Or why am I having this conversation? Mm-hmm. What was my pure intent? Was my intent pure? Because if it wasn't, then I need to check in with that too and get real about it and go, no, it wasn't actually a pure intent. I was trying to make them do what I wanted them to do. Okay.
That's true. Let's talk about two things that are very important here.
Yes.
One is if you're a professional caregiver, mm-hmm. so that's your job.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, you could fall into a space where you remove yourself from the fact that you're caring for a human and you're just doing your job.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there's and that is important to pay attention to, because the second you stop caring for another human being and it just becomes a job, mm-hmm. then there's a breach in that healing energy yes. altogether, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're a professional caregiver, it's super important that you understand what are the things that keep you balanced. What are the things that you need in order to do your job properly? So you do need to have a certain amount of sleep. You do need to have a certain amount of food, personal playtime and hobbies and things that really distract you from potentially the pain or sadness that you might experience in your daily job. Okay. So, and Leah, one of the things that I see the most is people don't know what they want. They don't know what they need. They're so out of tune with themselves. They don't know. They're just kind of floating through life. So guys, if you're listening, please, the first thing you need to do is really understand how your own body works. Are you a morning person? Are you more of a night person? Are you the type of individuals that need to have breakfast? Or are you the ones that just kind of skip breakfast and need a big lunch? Like, you need to understand how your body, and this is so beautifully put through the doshas in Ayurveda, mm-hmm. right? You have these different doshas, these different body types. You need to understand how your body type works and what it means. So one. Two, if you are caregiving, you need to understand why you like your job. Like, what was that passion, that fuel that got you there in the first place? And how do you, I call that energetic hygiene. How do you cleanse yourself from the emotional stickiness, right? The emotional energetic mud of having to care for individuals that are going through difficult times, right? Mm-hmm. So one of the first, oh, can I give a tip now? I know we're—
Yes, you get to give a tip. I'll give a tip as well.
Okay, cool.
Tip it up, everybody. Get your pen and paper out so you're writing this stuff down.
So one of the things that are super important for me to clear energy is as you get in the car out of your job, again, this is for caregivers, the individuals that are either temporarily or professionally doing caregiving. Mm-hmm. When you leave the building, when you get in the car, please take 3 deep breaths before you drive. Just you get in your car and you go, and just these 3 deep breaths, cleansing breaths. Get home and please shower as quickly as you can. So if you get home and take a shower, water conducts electricity. We know that because that's how we make electricity, right? It needs water. So water conducts electricity. If you shower with the intention of I disintegrate all energies not in alignment with my higher self, and you state that intention as the water is pouring down and cleansing your body, you could even make like a, almost like a knife with the shape of your hand. And if you go on the website and look at our video, you can see me showing you right now with my hand what I'm doing. So you put your hand flat and you wave it in front of your heart, almost like you're cutting cords that would be coming out of your heart chakra. So cut those cords and literally say, I disintegrate all energies not in alignment with my higher self. I cut these cords and do that in the shower. So that is a really cool little tip for individuals that do this on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. And I'll add into that, I love those. If you don't have time to get to the shower, so that's a very much a Qigong move, what Erica was showing you, which is the cutting the cords in front of the heart. The heart chakra, that's a Qigong, like cloudy hands is all very Qigong, fun, playful, but very effective and quick. If you don't have time to have a shower and before you get to your vehicle, you do come wash your hands as you're leaving wherever it is that you've done the cure. Wash your hands in cold water. Also helps to kind of cut those cords with the intention again of going, I just am cutting and letting go of all the stuff that isn't for me. And leaving all the good stuff here, leaving all the good stuff intact. But the act of running cold water over your hands also clears up that energy.
So, you just reminded me with Qigong. What do you think about doing a few jumps? You know, you're in the elevator, maybe you're leaving the building, you're in the lobby, you're in the parking lot, about to get in your car.
Yes, you can do actually heel knocking. So you don't necessarily need to leave the ground. Well, people go, oh, jump up. For a lot of people, women, they actually have bladder problems, so they won't be able to jump because it causes
problems.
But what you can do is actually heel knocking, which is that if you're watching the video, you can see this, but you just drop down on your heels.
Lift and drop.
And you're building bone at the same time and you're releasing all that blocked and stagnant chi. So it will, and like little kids, you know, they shake their shoulders when they're stressed out. They just go like shake, 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 and they shake it all out. Just do that. It's very playful, but you'll notice energy all gets activated very quickly and moves you out of that stressed state. And it starts you thinking about not what happened with that person, but what's going on in your own body. Mm-hmm. So it's very much about coming back into the body, which all these activities are, Erica, that you're mentioning as well. Even when you're consciously ingesting something or having a shower, it's about getting back in your body and not having your mind out there at the mercy of all like thoughts that might not be serving you very well. So yes.
Yes. And I'm going to wait on, I know we have to go to quick commercials, but I'm going to wait to talk about the nutrition just a little later, because that is such a beautiful topic when we talk about caregiving. The other aspect, because I said one aspect was if you're a caregiving professional, and the other one if you're caregiving as an amateur.
As an amateur. Which a lot of people are.
Yes, as an amateur. as an amateur, you have a certain balance, right? You're running your life, you're doing your thing, you're going through your job or whatever routine you have established, and suddenly life hands you this curveball of a loved one that needs attention immediately.
Yes.
And you give everything you have immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And before you know it, you're not sleeping well. Before you know it, your eating habits are completely out the door. Your routine for your smoothie or your supplements or your personal time or your meditation or your walk is just completely erased from your schedule. So again, I want to go back to something I said earlier, and it's you need to know you.
Mm-hmm.
You need to know you. You need to start there. And please, tonight, tomorrow, just grab a piece of paper and really scan your body and go, what makes me well?
Mm-hmm.
What are those key things that within a week's time, and again, in my better human world, everything is measured in a week's time, not in a daily basis, because that's going to stress yourself. So no, just on a week's time, what do I need to do at least a few times a week in order to stay happy, well, and balanced? And then what is my budget? And you need, for real, guys, you need to have a caregiving budget that saves you from putting your personal, emotional, financial stability out of balance in order to care for this individual. Today, we have, thankfully, so many support groups and GoFundMe platforms that if you really need financial support for a cause, there's plenty of individuals around the world. You don't have to do this alone, that will be happy to hear your story and might help you financially. So I want to invite you to make a list of those things that keep you happy, balanced, and well, and respect them.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Love it. Such great tips. Those are awesome. Awesome. Because caregivers often, before they know it, are doing things that absolutely take away from their own health and well-being. And it's a really good time right now as you're listening to this podcast, because again, nothing happens by accidents or by, you know, circumstance. You're here for a reason. And if you believe the reason that you're here is because you're supposed to be picking up some tips that would help you to feel better in your life, then write these things down, because again, you'll forget. It's like we get so busy, the mind gets hijacked. Mm-hmm. We get back into the stress mode. We forget about all the things that we learn and go, oh, I really want to do this one hot tip that Erica mentioned or Leah mentioned. But what was it now again? Now I got to listen back through that 46-minute podcast to try and find it. Instead of doing that, I'm going to invite you all just to get out your pen and paper and write down like your Coles notes. Take your little, do your little dictation. This is self-love and self-care and self-healing and accountability also, because nobody can be accountable for your health and wellness except you.
If you don't have a pen and paper, grab your phone, pull up your calendar. And for tomorrow, on the date of tomorrow, then that's when you write these tips. So you can revisit and you put a reminder and now you can go back to it.
Yeah, great. Awesome hot tips also there, Miss Erica. Beautiful.
So Should we talk a little bit about the nutrition?
Yes, let's talk about nutrition. We have about 14 minutes left. Let's talk about nutrition. Very, very important.
Very important, because the first thing that goes out when we get busy is how we eat. And what happens with that is we also notice that the body begins to ask for highly caloric items. Mm-hmm. So either more sugars or more fats. So we begin to crave those fried foods, the donuts, the cupcake, the little chocolate, little things here and there that maybe before were just not part of your daily intake. So if your body is doing that, okay, again, here I'm going back to these cool scans, like know your body.
Yes.
When you notice that your body is doing this, is having these interesting cravings that you may not be having before, if they are highly caloric, so sugars and fats, I want you to please try to replace them with a healthier fat. So if you're craving the fast food, because that's really what's going to happen, you're going to end up eating cupcakes or eating some kind of pie in the afternoon and going through drive-thrus. If this is you, if you're listening and you're like, damn, I'm already there, girl. So if you're already there, your body is low in energy. That's what it is. It's having a hard time processing energy, and it's actually depleted. So it's trying to signal you, hey, I need some fuel. Okay. So eating curries, for example, now is a great time to do that because it has a coconut base. It's really beautiful as an antibacterial, antiviral. It regulates your digestive flora. So curries are going to pick you up, bring your energy up. They act as anti-inflammatories. That's a great choice. Avocados, coconut in general, are good, healthy fats. Salmon, good, healthy fats, your omega-3s, omega-6s. So if your body is craving energy, eat a spoonful of raw honey. Fabulous. You're going to feel satiated. Eat some delicious dates, one or two dates, or make a cacao chocolate, hot chocolate with raw cacao, add one or two dates to it, some cinnamon, you can make it hot or cold, either way, but give your body tools to build, to heal, and to keep on going.
Yeah, I love that. So curries, right? Again, make little notes. Curries, what are the things that are easy to get your hands on depending on where you live? Be proactive about that. And the other little hot tip to pair this with is how you eat it, because a lot of people will because you're so stressed out, right? You're just like shoving in whatever you can mm-hmm. get. And there's this whole process that happens when you mm-hmm. digest food, that when you're cooking things and there's nice, the fragrance happens and your mouth begins to salivate and you've got all this wonderful juice and saliva flowing and you've got all the beautiful digestive organs working, yes. that your food is more bioavailable and helping you in your health and healing. If you're just stressed out eating and stuffing things into your mouth because you're in hunger and starvation mode, and hangry, you're hangry, so you're going to get it in there. But instead of doing that, it's like, slow down, really think about, this is Qigong eating, is the, you know, chewing your food. Making food, preparing food and eating food is so, so, so important. Mm-hmm. I know that a lot of people say, oh, you can just have a shake and just throw a shake back. And I'm like, no, it's like, really do think about chewing your food as much as possible. My dad, who's 83, I can speak to this from the Huntington's disease perspective, Erica, and it's been a very good learning, because a lot of people lose their ability to chew and eat very early on, like to swallow. Mm. So they essentially wither away from malnutrition.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So from a caregiver perspective, I really understand how important it is to sit down and or stand, whatever, but slow down your chewing, eat, chew, swallow your food, let it actually do what it's supposed to do in your digestive system. You know, for the body to absorb the nutrients, it has to go through all that process, because a lot of times when we just toss food back, it has no nutritional value anyway. So mm-hmm. you could have made the best shake in the world that's got all the avocado and honey and whatever the heck else in it. But if you're just tossing it back without there being any sort of
stimulation,
yeah. you're not getting the nutrition from the food. So slow down, chew your food, 25 to 30 chews, bites, feel, taste it. See if you even like it. There's another one. Know thyself. Do you even like this thing that you're eating, or is it just something that you've shoved in your mouth?
That your sister said you should take.
Yeah. You should have this. It's like, oh man, that's just some nasty stuff when you chew it 25 times. And I've made my dad eat this. Hang on a minute. Who else have I fed this crap to? Hold on.
You know, Netta, we're goofing off here. And if you're listening and you have some input, please feel free to reach out. I would love to hear what you have to say about this. But could it be possible? And this is just me making this up, okay? Could it be, could this be possible? You give your dad a chewing gum. Could he chew gum for like 2 minutes before you give duty? Could that help? I don't know. That's why I'm saying I'm goofing off here with you. But what could that be a possibility? If someone cannot chew for real, and I do see the importance of chewing because it does signal your gastric juices to prepare, because there's food coming and therefore it's going to have to be broken down, right? Mm-hmm. So chewing does signal your body into preparing those gastric juices, those enzymes that are going to help you break down foods. But if you're not chewing, you're just just drinking smoothies on a liquid diet, then I see your point. You're missing that preparation of those enzymes. So what do you think? Could we give someone just a piece of gum for 2 minutes before we give them a smoothie? I don't know.
Well, I think it'd be worth a try, but if you have a swallowing problem or a breathing problem with advanced disease. So my dad's got lots of, because he's got this movement disorder, there's a lot of moving and a lot of, like, he has chorea. You'd have to look it up, Erica, to actually get a real flavor of what it is.
Okay.
I could demonstrate it, but you would all be so shocked, I'm sure. It's just very, very hard. So when he chews, if he inhales, he could inhale something into his lungs also. And that's
another
reason why people die, is because they get pneumonia from aspiration of food. So it's this whole very sentient thing. And he has to have between 8 and 12,000 calories of food a day because he moves so much.
Did you guys hear that? I mean, I'm a holistic nutritionist. A person should eat anywhere between 1,800 to 2,200 calories a day. How much does your dad need to eat?
Yeah, between 8 and 12,000 calories
a day
because he moves. Wow. The only time he's not moving is when he is sleeping. And so it's a lot. So you have to keep him fed in order to keep his body in balance. And he likes to eat his food. So we're cooking all the time. Like, we cook a lot.
Okay. That's a fun house to go hang out to.
Actually. Oh, so much fun.
we're all coming to hang out at your house.
Luck.
amazing.
Yes.
So going back to this compassion fatigue, right? Yes. Especially amateur caregivers that are kind of thrown in these situations. Mm-hmm. I really want you to pay attention to what you're eating and really making it a point to check if throughout the day, and that's something you can do daily, did you have something green? Did you have something red? Did you have something yellow? Or are your plates looking white and brown? Mm-hmm. Because if they are, then you're missing antioxidants. And the main issue why you get sick through stress and through the stress of caregiving is oxidative stress, right? Your cells begin to lack the nutrients they need to stay happy and plump and healthy, right? They begin to act like a raisin. You have these telomeres that are at the end of your chromosomes and they begin to shorten. So you really need to look at your plate and is it colorful? That is an easy tip, and just make sure, I haven't had anything blue or anything purple, red, right? Eat your mango, eat your cucumbers. And I just had this idea. Oh, there's a supplement. Oh yes. Grab your pens, guy. This is it. please go find liquid chlorophyll. Mm. Are you ready for this? Okay, I hope you're listening. Grab your pen or open your calendar. Put this on your to-dos for tomorrow. Chlorophyll, liquid chlorophyll. They're tiny little droppers. They're green. Please be careful, because that is how humanity has dyed textiles for the last 25,000 years. Okay, you get this on your clothes, and nothing's gonna get this chlorophyll out.
So I don't have mine here, or I'd show you, because it's like, you're totally right. Oh man.
It is green, and it will be green for the next 25,000 years. Yeah. So you put 5 or 8 drops of chlorophyll in your water. Mm-hmm. And that is a very beautiful way and simple, here, caregivers, quick, simple fix to add amazing antioxidants and blood purifying agents to your body. And what I love about chlorophyll is that it helps build red blood cells. Now, why are red blood cells important? Because red blood cells are kind of like, I like to call them these big, hunky, muscular guys that go up and down my arteries with giant backpacks carrying oxygen to the cells. Okay. Yes. So the more of these like big honky guys you have going up and down your arteries, then the more oxygen will be distributed. That's the most cartoonish way of me explaining what a red blood cell is.
Right.
But chlorophyll helps you build red blood cells, which help you distribute oxygen and carry oxygen through the body. And that is what we need to be a little more purified. We want to prevent our immune system from declining. We want to ensure that we're ready to fight. So if you can find in your local food stores or supermarkets or online liquid chlorophyll, that is one of the quickest, simplest way to stay healthy when you don't have a lot of time.
Yes. And I think also too, I'll do a shameless shout out for Quadrimune, which we have on our website as well.
Love the Quadrimune. Love it.
The Quadrimune is so, so good. So again, and I've been really dialed into my nutrition for a number of years because of having this Huntington's disease and really wanting to be well. So finding suitable supplements, I didn't take anything for years and years and years. I just really did eat well.
You're just that fabulous.
Well,
from the get-go, look at his genetics.
Focus. It's like focus on it. Focus.
Qigong, your mindfulness.
That's right. But and the nutrition part's difficult if the food sources are compromised. So I've been lucky to always have a garden that I can get fresh fruit and vegetables from. But we live in Canada where you can't grow food year round. So there's all these little challenges, plus the whole shenanigans that are currently going on makes it difficult to go to the grocery store. Just don't practice the shenanigans. So because of that, because of these things, I just go, okay, well, what else can I do? So I ran into these guys who have Quadrimune, NanoSteelBeam, but the Quadrimune, if people want to know more about it, again, it's front and center on the masteryourlife.ca website for a reason. There's patents out about how awesome
it is.
Yes.
Now, I've seen some incredible miracles, literally with people and the Quadrimune. Just you need to make sure that the supplements that you're taking come from really good vibrational sources, that they're made in a way that your body can absorb it and use it.
Yes.
Yeah. Another thing that you can do is all the blue algaes, chlorella, spirulina, fantastic. So those are tablets. And you know what I do? I sprinkle 5 or so capsules. No, they're not capsules. Sorry. They're tablets. Pressed tablets on top of my salad. And I use them instead of croutons because they're a little salty and crunchy. So instead of having croutons in my salad, I actually add tablets of chlorella.
Oh, we're out of time, Erica Ramelli. So I know it's like,
stay tuned, guys.
So yes, stay tuned, everybody, because we're going to just have to pick up on the thread of the nutrition, because I think we're just really starting to get into it. And we're going to talk more on the next episode about compassion fatigue, but sort of targeted at a different audience, or maybe pick up on the thread and just flesh out a little bit more even about the romantic lover or the lover of our lives. So Erica, last tip for everybody, or last word for everybody for this episode today.
Make time to care for yourself. You have to know yourself, know what you need, and make sure you put that in your schedule. And if you don't have a lot of time, then at least listen to some music, some frequencies to rebalance your brainwaves.
Yes, which we'll talk about more on further and future upcoming episodes. Erica, thank you so much.
Thank you, darling. Always a pleasure to hang out with you and empower our world, becoming better humans and how to master their life.
Beautiful. Everyone, love yourselves, love each other, mind your minds. That's all for us. Bye for now.
Bye.
Thank you for being a part of our program today. Master Your Life is a presentation of Leah Mattinson Enterprises, Inc. Join us next time on Master Your Life, helping you to discover the very best of you.